Welcome to Royal Grace Chapel, the Empowerment Center, where faith comes alive through inspiring messages and teachings. At Royal Grace Chapel, our mission is to empower you to connect with God in worship, relationship with other believers, and enable you to fulfill your purpose for global impact. We believe in the power of transformation through the Word of God, and that's exactly what you'll experience as you journey with us through our plethora of messages. Get ready to be equipped, uplifted, and empowered on your path of faith. Be transformed as you listen to today's empowering message.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes,
prospering in tough times. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we've been sharing for the past three Sundays. This is the third part of how to prosper in hard times of tough time. Victor, it's good to see you. I've been looking everywhere for you. Did Ellen Queen deliver my message? Okay. So make sure you don't run away today. All right. And Johnson, you are welcome back from Jamaica. Okay. It's good to see all of you. Amen. So the first key principle that we need to engage, you know, principles are constant, they don't lie. Principles that work here in Nigeria will work in America. The law of gravity is the same everywhere. What goes up must come down, wherever you are, even in America, to come down. 1 + 1 = 2 is a principle. So there are principles that will govern us from prospering in our times. And these are the will of God. And the first principle I share with you is obedience to God's commandment. Obedience to God's command. You find that in Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feared the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. Verse 2 says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endureth forever. So you see, obedience produces riches and wealth. Just staying with what God has said. Just doing what God said we should do. As long as you are obeying, you will prosper. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat what? The good of the land. It's a law. And you will see that practically in times of famine in 1 Kings chapter 17, when after Elijah declared that there was going to be tough time, there was going to be hard times, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2, and the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and verse 3 of 1 Kings 17 says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. According to what?
The word of the Lord.
According to what?
The word of the Lord.
He did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and verse 6. And the ravens brought in bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. May God locate you this season with supernatural provision.
Yeah.
You could see here that, you know, as he obeyed, even where you stay matters. Where you stay is matter. Everybody is jackpot. You too, you want to jackpot in. Do you know that the bird only had one address? Brook of Cherith. What if Elijah was in the brook of Jordan or the brook of Galilee? What would have happened to him that season? The raven will come with the provision, but because where God wanted him to be is not there, he too will start complaining of hardship when he had no business complaining of hardship. Do you know that even your location matters? Your location matters. God has a location for everybody. I said, God that does what? God has a location for everybody. But I said, you shall be like a tree planted by the river. That's the address of that tree. That, if that tree moves from that place, I say, there are plenty tree by this river. So me, I want to be like a tree planted by the mountain. That tree will dry up. A lot of destinies have dried up because they chose where to stay, not the place God chooses for them. Location matters. And I will dwell in the house of God. Location matters. Then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It is goodness and mercy can only follow you where you stay and where you are, where God wants you to be. Listen to me. It is not what is raining that matters. It is what is raining on that matters. You don't get that? It is not what is raining that matters, but what he, God, is raining on that matters. It may be raining, but not for you. But it is the one that God is sending his rain on that matters. Is somebody with me? If you go to America, you see beggars there. Some of them could have been in their country. But they've heard, America, America, America. It is not America that makes people. The question is, does God want you to be there? Say, God told him, stay by the brook. Then he gave the address. Go to the brook of cherish. You will find a man there. If Elijah decided to move away from that brook, believe you me, he would have died of hunger. Even location matters. Are you with me? And you know, but amazingly, there's something you also see that I want to quickly disabuse your mind of. Verse 7 of 1 Kings 17. Obeying verse 7 of it says, and it came to pass afterward that the brook dried up because there had not been rain in the land. That God is with you does not mean that you will not face challenges. Who told him to go back to the brook? No, who told him to go to the brook? Have you heard of your God? Who told him to go to the brook? And what happened again at the brook? Listen. This is why you must not only be specialist in paying attention to what God has said. You must know what God is saying. I keep telling you. Because God said to him, go and stay by the brook. Now, by that brook, the water dried up. The question is it God? Yeah, was it God that spoke to him? Yes, but verse 8, look at it. Verse 8. The same God then said to him, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now, he's saying something. There are people who say, this is the only business I've done for my life. And this is my father, our family business. Now, this is what I will do. And the thing is not working. And God is trying to say to you, leave this line of business and go say, Mbao, this one or nothing else. This one or nothing else. Some years ago, you heard me say that when I ran into financial crisis, when I was a business person in Computer Village, all my life, what I was always doing was Windows, computers, and the rest of the things. That's what I was trained on. But I realized that all of a sudden, everywhere became dried up. I knew it was God that led me to that one because there are also stories behind it. So one particular time, I went into a prayer room. I camped myself there because I know that it is not the will of God for me to suffer. Lord, what are you saying in this season? What are you saying now? Because things became so bad that even in my house, we could not afford a pot. It was the bakery pan, the bread business we started. Then the pan from that was supposed to be in the oven that my wife was using to cook in the house. So we could not even afford a pot. So I said, this is extreme poverty. This is not the will of God. But thank God I was wise enough. Instead of complaining or looking for who to blame, I took out time. I told my wife, I will go for 1 week and find out what God is saying now. Day one, I was in that room alone. Day two, this is like about 15 years ago now. Day two, I was in that room alone. Then that day two, he told me what to do. I had only one computer left. It was called a Dell D600. He told me, go and give that computer to this man of God. So I left that place. I was away somewhere in Ogun State praying. I came back to Lagos with my car. I gave that man of God and said, God is a wonderful God. You know, my son has just been disturbing me that he needs computer in school. He needs computer. And God have used you to bring computer to me. Even when he said that, I was angry the more. You have not answered my own prayer. You left me and were answering somebody's prayer in Lagos. But I've learned to trust him. So I came back to that room again where I was praying. I think it was on day 3 or so. Then as I was praying, I saw the Apple logo. And the Lord said to me, change your line of business. But you see, at that time, Apple was not popular. I think the only thing they had then was iPhone 4. iPhone 4 just came out. Thank you. iPhone 4 just came out, or iPhone 4. So it was, I remember it was around iPhone 4 or 4S. You know? And I don't know anything about Apple. And the Lord said to me, I will help you. I will help you. So I came back those days to my office and I changed. It was called the Favor Systems. So I changed the logo. I said, the Favor, and I put it now. I said, Apple Repairer. And when people will come, you see, this one is not easy to see outside because you look like as though you are telling tales by moonlight. Because I remember that when people would then bring, I remember the first set of computer they brought. All right? Those days, iPad 1 was so big. Some of you will not have even known how iPad 1 looks like. Very voluminous iPad. But I remember when they bring those computer, I would go into my office. Father, you have said you will help me. What should I do? See, I'm on this pulpit, I'm not lying to you. There were lots of computers that I slapped and came back to life than the one I did anything about. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's ridiculous to say that. I will just pray, Lord, and I'll come up, and the thing will come up. Now, when you say that now, see, I'm a literate person. You know, I've done computer for over 20 years as a technician. Over 20 years. So I am not talking as one who didn't go to school. So don't think I'm here to psych you up, but I'm telling you practically what happened. Those days, MacBook Pro, you can separate the front glass and the back glass. The same thing with iPad. And you need what we call a suction cup. A suction cup to put on the screen, suck it. Then you then need something. Then you use your heat to apply. Then before you can detach the screen. I'm telling you under heaven, I never use any tools. The Lord just gave me how to use my ATM card to separate that thing. One day I wanted to boast. So I told my friend that me, I can do this thing with just an ATM card. The guy said, he bet, and I think he put money on the table that if you do it, I will give you this amount. It's not possible. I said it's possible. So I wanted to brag. So he gave me one computer, and as I attempted to do it, the screen broke. He said, I told you it's not possible. Go and pay for the screen, you're broken. You know, but I said, so this thing that is happening, because I was now taking it for granted, thinking that it was normal. But I forgotten that it was just because God said he was going to help me. He helped me, helped me, helped me until a customer came one day after I satisfied him and said, this thing, what do you need to take it to the next level? I said, I need to travel to America. I need to get my certification with Apple in America. I said, how much do you need? I mentioned the millions. Plane ticket was there. The hotel was there. The school fees was there and everything. If somebody that I have no relation paid for it. I got my visa and everything. Went to America to study and came back. He paid for it. What is the secret? No, I'm telling you. You will enjoy favor when you align yourself with what God is doing. Some of you, the secret of the frustration right now in your life is that you are following what is popular, not what is leading you to do. Be sensitive to it. Obeying God's commandment. Now, the problem then is that how can you obey the commandment of God when you are not hearing from him? In the story I just told you, you see that the underlining thing there was that I know, or I knew, and I still know, and I'm knowing how God speaks to me. How God speaks to me. One of the greatest causes of poverty among us as children is that we have taken that experience of fellowshipping with God for granted. Every morning when we do our prayer, you see people calling people, and some will say, give me data, sup me, whatever, just to pray. I tell you that 80% of Christians don't read their Bible every day. Most Christians do. We have a pattern in our church. I hope we use U version, and we help people. We send out link so that when you do it, you, honestly speaking, you will be surprised that at the end of the day, one day I checked, one the previous one, only 7 people in the entire church. I had to call people. What is wrong with you? You see, people don't know that prosperity is produced by knowing how to be a friend of God. You see, I was at a conference during the week, and it was a very big hall. And a young man stood up and asked a question. Where I was? I said, that voice sounds like Kenneth. So I look. This guy, I've not seen him now. Let me know if I'm not exaggerating. I think I have not seen him for over 5 years or 7 years. We were friends in secondary school. But when I heard this voice, I looked, and lo and behold, he was the one. So I told somebody, I've not seen that guy now for, I think, over 7 years. But when I heard that voice, I knew that, because the way the voice sounded in my ear, I said, this must be Kenneth. Listen to me. You will never know how God speaks to you unless you spend time with God. The reason why you are being confused right now, then one prophet will just come and just bamboozle you and snap of your money. Well, you are a quick fix person. You are only looking for God as an ATM. When you get, he gets your problem solved, you will walk away from God. ATM mentality Christians. How can reading your Bible put food on your table? How can praying every day put food on your table? It's simple. Whoever you spend time with, you also become. There is power in association. Yoruba people, you say that, tewe bakpe lara oshe, onse kini. Those of you who are Yoruba, you don't know. Rep your tribe is coming. Mommy P, are you here in church or you have gone home? Because when me and you are talking, you to harass me with so many proverbs sometimes. Mommy P, I like talking to her, because when we are talking, you just say, Pastor, don't be angry. Then she will throw one proverb. I said, no, that is to show that you are. You know, when people, elderly people are talking to you, you will know, because they will not complete one. If you have mother who are elderly, you know that when they want to even rebuke you, they will use a proverb. Some of you, you've not seen it before. When they want to rebuke, they will use a proverb. And they will everything. So, see, what he's saying is that when the soap is put on the leaf, after some time, you can use the leaf to wash plates. Why? Because whatever is on the soap, we eventually rub off on the leaf. Bible says God is mighty and great. When you spend time with God, the greatness and the mightiness of God will rub off on your life. The reason why you are small is because you are disconnected from God. And the only time some of us fast is when there is problem. You pray when there is problem. When there is no problem, there is nothing. No. See, I'm come to say, give me Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Look at it. Joshua 1:8. Very quickly, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. How often? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Observe, obey. That, in other words, telling you that you must hear and obey. But for you to hear and obey, you must first spend time with the word, then obey the word. Then what did he say will happen to you? For then, so there is a condition for prosperity. For then thou shalt make your way, and thou shalt have what? Shekinah. Go and dust your Bible. Work on your prayer life. Prayer is developing intimacy with God, fellowshipping with God. It's not about God meeting your need, it's about you becoming a friend of God. No relationship can develop without communication. Relationship. You see, when you spend time with God, then you can then pray what we call the prayer of inquiry. What's the prayer of inquiry? Lord, what should I do now? Lord, what is the way out of this difficult situation? Lord, things are becoming so hard. please, what should I do? You see, when I told you of that incident now, that was what I went to go and do, pray. I realized that it is not the will of God for me to be poor and be in debt and be suffering like that. So I took out time. But you see, it is not that day that that relationship with God started. It has started before then. Every child of God must spend at least 1 hour every day before God. If you don't know how to pray for 1 hour every day, you are in danger. I'm telling you. Jesus said, couldn't you pray at least an hour? 1 hour is the minimum for every Christian to pray. That's why we do 5 to 6 a.m. Look at what the Bible says. Psalm 143 verse 8. Psalm 143 verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For indeed do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. You know, those who are in my Changemakers investment class can testify. Most of our investment that we have done this year has made gain. Has made gain. About last month or 2 months ago, I posted something. I said, this thing is going to happen in Nigeria now. So if I were you, I mentioned some products that people should go and buy and keep. That this product, their price will go up. So one of the brothers who came to share testimony, some of you heard him, said that he went and bought, I don't want, because of fine protocol will not allow me to mention any product, so that they will not say we are the reason why things are going up in Nigeria. So he went to go and buy, he said the money I had, he went to go and buy the products and kept it in the house. And 3 weeks later, what used to be about 1,000 or something became about 7,000 or 6,000 or something. He said he didn't know that such a thing can happen. He shared it, you all heard it in the chat. But that morning, I remember I was where I was. Of course, I read news a lot. I do analysis. But this thing, the thing just came to me. Normally, we talk about stocks and other things. It was the first time, those of you who are in that platform, remember, it was the first time we issued a prediction that was not in the context of what people knew. Yes, bam! And that was it. That was it. But what if you don't know how to hear God? See, and we hunger the Maya man that they talk about Bible. Yeah, I need money. You are talking about prayer. Say, Do you hear who he's talking? Say, oh, as I say, You shall have good success. So as we live here today, for instance, have a system to have your quiet time. Take up your Bible. If you have not subscribed to our YouVersion plan every day, subscribe. Get people who will be accountable to. You know, there are people who will call you if they don't see you for prayer. Cherish them. They are your good friends. There are people who, when they check, your name I'm not shown that you have read your Bible today, they will call you. Say, wait till Apple. You never study your Bible. Don't be angry, because you see, when you have accountability partner, what it does for you is that when you are weak, somebody is there to raise you up. Christianity is too serious to walk alone. So today, after the service, look, I'm sure you will see people talking to you. Hey, will you be my MC? We call it MC, Mission Community. Will you be my MC? Okay, can I become your accountability? Okay, should I call you if I don't see you for a chat prayer? Should I call you if you don't do your... Just say yes, give them your number. Make them your friend, thank them. Because it will help you to become a better person. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Then look at it. He awakens me morning by what?
Morning.
He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. From today, may you begin to hear God clearly. Yes, he awakens my ear to hear. He awakens my Once again, you know, those of us those who have been attending Changemaker service, you know, we've Changemaker team, they are enjoying the best time of their life. Because, for instance, this year people are crying, but they cannot cry, because most of what we are doing there has been profitable. God has been awakening our ears to hear. In this season, you will profit more.
Amen.
Now, the second point I then give to prospering in tough times, which is, I'm just doing revision today because some of you were not there. is what? Check your notes. What? Develop what? Blessing mentality. Develop blessing mentality. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Give me New Living Translation. Romans 12, 2. New Living Translation. Let God transform you into a new person by changing what? The way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's will is for you to prosper. But there is something that will fight prosperity in your life. It's called poverty mentality. So there are two types of mindset you can carry. Mindset number one is poverty mentality. Mindset number two is prosperity mentality. And I will help you identify the two, how you will know which one is with you. To do that, I share with you last week, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Say, I am the Lord thy God. He said, thou shalt remember that it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy father as it is this day. And last week I shocked a lot of you when I said, God does not give money. God does not give people money. And some people were shocked. No. God does not rain money down on people. No. But somebody will ask, but you know, I read in the Bible where Jesus actually brought money out of the mouth of the sheep, or of the fish. What do you have to say to that? That's Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. Number one, that was an act of the sovereignty of God. Number two, go and check what the Bible says there. The Bible says that, and thou shalt find a piece, not plenty money, a piece of money. Sometimes God can give you supernatural money, but it is often a piece. Maybe, you know, you just stumble on the money to meet your need on the road or something like that. But it's often a piece. But we are talking about wealth. We are talking about creating wealth. If what you are looking about is wealth, God will never give you the money. God does not give people money. But what God does, he creates favorable circumstances, environment around your life for you to make money. It gives you ideas, relationship that will translate into substance. But God does not rain money down. Because if he had done that for our forefathers, when Nigeria was spending cowries, what will happen now? You'll be an idol, because cowries now is associated with idolatry. If he had done that when we are spending pounds in Nigeria, what would have happened? The money would have become useless. But it will give you blessing, and that blessing will produce money. So no matter what happens, no matter the currency, a blessed man will always attract wealth. Disabuse your mind when you are praying. Yes, you can pray, God, I need this money. But as you are praying for that money, you will begin to open your mind at what are the ideas that God is giving to you now. In order for God to meet your money problem, sometimes he will give you ideas. He will give you relationship. He will use people to meet that money. You know, we've been celebrating the testimony of financial provision. All right? But Akliti, would you like to share your testimony, please? Please come. This brother shared a testimony with me last week. Please come. I want you to see. Now, in case you don't know, every month we do 3 days fasting and prayer. We call it Fasting and Prayer Summit. 3 days marathon is one with every second week of the month. Now, the first one we did was because it was the last 7 days of our 30 days fast. So I specifically called him and a few other people that week to join me. Now, he shared something with me last week. That, Pastor, when you called us for those 7 days, we were praying every morning for 6 hours, 9 to 3 a.m. And we did that for 6 days. Now, he participated. because he was part of the people I called. And he said, Pastor, I only had two prayer requests. He said, but I last Sunday was telling me, he said, Pastor, the two prayer requests, God has done it. God has done it. The first one, he said, for whatever reason, they were not publishing his name in the graduating list of the school, even though he had finished for a while. After the 30 days, he said, Pastor, my name has come out. They've published my name. Now, the other one which, was that he was looking for an answer. You please feel free not to mention the figure. If you want to mention the figure, no problem. It's up to you, but I won't because you have not given me my mention. But what he was looking for was very huge for Ashret. Very huge. And yes, Ofegbe Flat, you are in the spirit. Ofegbe Flat. Of course, if it is God, you better make sure that the thing is good enough. But you know what he told me? He said, somebody called me that have not called me for a long time. You know, that is how the trend has been now. Those of you heard. And he said, and they got talking and they said, what did he say? The person asked you.
The person said that, what did I need? How am I? Am I having any problem? So I was, I didn't, praise God. I did not even want to talk. Okay. So I was feeling reluctant to even express myself. Okay. So she was the one even saying, oh God, you better talk now. So I was not like, okay, man, this is it. I've been looking for accommodation and all of that. And she said, is, how much is it? Go and get an agent and all of that, which I did. So after getting the house, and I told her that if this person, if you message her, she will not reply you. So this very day, when I got the house, I just messaged her that, man, I've gotten this. She said, how much? It was on Sunday that I received the alert. 0000000000.
Come on, put those hands together for Jesus. No, you see, thank you. God bless you. Now, you see, I had to call you that testimony for. You see now, that's why I said we don't mention figure here. So when you say 0000000, how many zeros? So fun. Now, how did that money come to him? Relationship. Right? What if he had not valued that relationship? Those of you who just treat people anyhow, you are wondering why you are poor. No, you don't, practically you don't know how to treat people. The only time you call people is when you need them. And once they help you, you do away with them. When somebody see your call now, say, otutuni wala. They know once they see your car, this guy get problem. You know, one day, this is so bad with some people. One day, a lady called me, all right, and afterward, I just became vulnerable and I said, okay, I sent her a recharge card. Said she doesn't have a recharge card. So I said, okay, her call was going to drop. I said, okay, drop. Then I called her back. After I called her back, I then recharged her line. I said, once you drop now, you will see a recharge card on your phone. Do you know how she thanked me? She flashed me to thank me. Flashed me twice. No, flash me twice. Thank you. Pound, pound. It's true. It happened to me. But listen, let's talk about what we're talking about. Blessing mentality. The second thing you then observe when Bible says that it gives you the ability, the power, the means, the strength to get to attract wealth, kingdom wealth has a purpose. Do you know when we are there? God bless me. Do you know why he will not bless you? Because you are not aligning yourself with the purpose with which he needs to bless you. The same Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18 actually clarifies this. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. It said, the Lord our God gives you power to get wealth, then the other person, that he may establish his covenant which he swear unto thy father as it is this day. That he may establish his covenant. So if you want God to prosper you, you must be covenant minded. Your prayer for prosperity and blessing must align with God's covenant values. Watch. What is the covenant? You know, because of time, let me just give you the scripture, you go and read. Those of you who were around last week, you saw that scripture. I gave it to you. Genesis 12:2-3. Genesis 12:2-3. Genesis 22:16-18. The first one is Genesis 12:2-3. Genesis 22:16-18. Genesis 26:4. Finally, Genesis 28:14. In these four scriptures, what you will see is God saying that I will bless you. But this is the reason why I will bless you. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. And through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So you need to understand that the covenant God is talking about is the covenant that, hey, God is going to bless you so that you can be what? A blessing. And so that through you, all the nations of the earth will be what? Yes. But somebody will say that, hey, but that was unto Abraham. I told you that Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was not an Israelite. Oh, you didn't get that because most people think that Abraham was a Jew, he was an Israelite. No! Abraham was the one that gave birth to the Jew, but he himself was not a Jew. Jewry are from the tribe of Judah. Judah is one of the sons of Jacob, out of the 12 sons. Do you know that actually 10 tribes were lost? Only two remained. Now, those were the sons of Judah. That's why we call them Jews. Jews. These are the people that formed Israelite today. But what do I want to say? Abraham was a pagan. Genesis 12. God called him out of his father's house. And I want to start something new through you. A new lineage. And he said, the purpose is this. The whole world, human beings are thinking about themselves. They are engulfed about their own needs, but I'm raising a generation, a people that I will bless, and they will not be consumed about themselves alone, but they will become a blessing, and through them, all the nations of the earth shall be what? He didn't say country, he said nations. Nations mean people groups. Do you understand? And look at what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Are you getting something? It said, and the scripture, Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the heathen, the unbelievers, through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham. He calls it the gospel unto Abraham, saying, indeed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the good news. So then, which be of faith are blessed with the faithfulness of Abraham. Then the same Hebrews chapter 3 verse 16 then says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one to thy seed, which is Christ. Verse 29 then says, if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You are the seed of Abraham in Christ. What does this mean? The covenant that God has is with Abraham, that this is the reason why I will bless you, is the same covenant that you have tapped into. So the moment you are saying, Lord, give me a car. Lord, bless me so that I can pay my school fees. Of course, in the sovereignty and mercy sometimes, it will bless you. But you will not be a great person. A great person must be one who knows that the blessing of God is not for me, myself, and I alone. It's for me to be a blessing to others and to nations. You carry something that can bless nations, but your thinking is too small. That's a problem. That is why we can only testify of little money. Because you see, your thinking is about your need, not the need of others. A child of God who wants to be truly great must embrace blessing mentality. And you have to start with where you are. Let me give you what the Bible is saying here. Jesus said that anyone that will be blessed among you must serve. Let me give you that scripture so that you understand what I'm saying. He said, Luke 12, I think somewhere in Luke 12, yeah, Luke 22, sorry, verse 26. New Living Translation. New Living Translation said, but among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. So in this kingdom, for I am among you as the one who what? Oh, I am among you as the one that does what? The key to greatness is service. Now, I'm about to wow you as I close. Listen to me. In the business world, one of the rules that governs wealth creation, they will tell you, is problem solving. So in the business world, they will tell you, if you are not having enough money, there are four reasons why you don't have money. Number one, they will tell you, is either you are not solving problem at all. Number two, or you are not solving problem enough. Number three is, or you are solving the wrong problem. Number four, you are solving the right problem for the wrong customers. That's the rule that governs wealth. But one thing is either you are not solving problem at all, or you are solving little, no, you are not solving enough problem, or you are solving the wrong problem, or you are solving the right problem for the wrong customers. But one thing in wealth creation is that wealth answers to problem solving. Now, you then see people who are saying, God, bless me, Olua, bless me, Olua, bless me. But the guy is not thinking, how can I solve problem? Because you see, you attract wealth based on your capacity and ability to solve problem. Africa is the richest continent when it comes to raw materials. But do you know why we are the poorest? Because we don't know how to solve problems. We don't know how to use what we have to solve problems. So an African man just wants to sell the crude oil. The European man or the Western man will take the crude oil and refine it and then send it back. I was with a billionaire recently during the week, and he was telling me that, you know, telling us that, he said, where he was working, he was among the board members. He said, their company needed to process pepper, the one you use in your Indomie, right? And he said that particular year they imported 4 billion worth of pepper from Germany. Watch. He said, but do you know where Germany got the pepper from? Nigeria and Ghana. Yeah. Nigeria and Ghana. So Germany took our pepper. Then they refined it. And we are now importing pepper back. Do you understand? So you see, for instance, if I say this is 10,000 naira and this is a book, which one do you think African man will move? 10,000, because he is always looking for ready-made, looking for finished goods, but he doesn't think of solving problem. So in this room, do you know why we don't have enough money? Because we are not solving enough problem. God is not your problem. You see, your problem is your problem because you are not solving problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus got money out of the mouth of the fish, go and read Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Why did God give him money out of the mouth of the fish? Because the Bible says that Jesus of Nazareth, he went about doing good. He was solving problem. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all they that were oppressed of the devil, he solved, for God was with him. Jesus had to solve problems. That was why you see that everywhere now, people began to bring food to him. You, who is giving you food? Nobody. Because why? You are not touching any life. There are, see, I have been to people's grave side, and one of the most pathetic things you can see in life is to see people who did not make impact beyond their nuclear family. Honestly speaking, I've been to people's grave that the only set of people that were crying were the immediate children. Not one human being outside of the immediate children cried. Wow, what a wasted life. That you live only to raise children. And you didn't make impact beyond your part. Africa's problem is greed. Ukraine, February came, Ukraine that is in war for 2 years, came to give us wheat. 15,000 tons of wheat. You took wheat from a man who has not been able to farm well for 2 years because of war. He is giving you out of the one he stored because they realize that, you see, one of the principles of blessing mentality is that you must be a generous person. You are blessed to be a blessing. Even hardship should not stop your generosity. If it is Nigeria that is at war, we are not at war. How many times have you heard that Nigeria give anything out? No, Africa as a whole, we have plenty yam. When we harvest, who do we give it to? We don't give. So, they gave us toilets. They even came to build toilets. World Bank came to build school for us. School in Nigeria. Then they will come and build refugee place. They will even borehole to even drink our water. They have to donate borehole and we accept borehole. Haiti has been in war. Gang leaders, whatever. The whole of Africa did not even give one bag of garri to Haiti. Go and check. Africa is not a giving continent. And a giving continent is the one that is blessed. Until we change our mentality that it is smartness to receive and not give, Africa will remain poor. One thing is synonymous with African continent. They don't give. It's a place they receive aids. And when you always receive aids, you will always need to be hated. Go and check. We don't give. So an average African man then, who has lived in this continent, when he comes around a rich man, just like the brother shared testimony now, the first thing, I will take extract my own. Waiting go drop for me. See, I was with a rich man about 3 weeks ago with my wife, and we're talking. And the man looked at me and said, what do you need? If I was a poor man, I would say, money. I said, no, I need your wisdom. I need to know how you are making things work. Because I know that if he gives me money today, the money will finish. But if I have his wisdom, I will produce his results. You may look at me as though I'm foolish. But I am not. I was going to have a meeting with a man of God, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday. So I told the person that was coming, Pastor Gabriel, I said, I want to teach you how to relate with rich people and how to get the best out of them. Said, this person I'm going to, I needed his advice on something. But I will not go empty. And because now I want to go and receive from him. I will show you what I do in secret. So I took him to a place. I buy things. I bought something. Bought a big thing. I said, follow me. Because I want him to learn. Because the people just look at you and say, hey, God, just bless us. There are principles we follow. I have to overcome that beggarly mentality. When we got to that office, Pastor Gilbert was carrying the thing, and I entered. I asked the secretary, hello, we are here to see Pastor XYZ. And he looked at me. The eyes of the secretary just went straight to what Pastor Gilbert was carrying. Instead of going to tell his pastor first that somebody said, you know what she said? She said, follow me. I'm telling you. So she just made us follow. So I was telling her, okay. Then as I was there, I saw some things they were doing, so I was asking questions. The lady was very cautious, and she had forgotten all the protocol. She had even opened the door of the pastor to now tell the pastor that, I don't know whatever they went to go and, she went to go and say inside. But I realized that it was then, it occurred to her that, Mutirogo, I've made a mistake. I didn't follow protocol. So now the pastor have no choice but to allow us in because we're already at the door. You know now, we have cornered him. So when we entered the pastor's office, he said, Pastor John, how are you? How is everything? I said, fine, sir. Immediately, you two saw the thing. So you are welcome. So then I said, before we talk, I said, Pastor Gabriel, please, can you put it there on the table so that you will see that I didn't come empty-handed. Put it there. They said, oh, Pastor John, please sit down, sit down. So we have meeting today. Honestly, I have sent message to everybody that wants to see me that they should not come again. I only forgot to send you message because our meeting was 2 p.m. He said, I was there by 12:45. He said, but now I have a meeting, a conference call by 1 o'clock. But hope you will not mind if we spend the next 15 minutes together. 15 minutes with a big man is a lot of minutes. So I said, no problem, sir. And the man sat there. I sat with him. He said 15 minutes. I think he gave me about 25 or 30 minutes. By the time we finished, he looked at me and said, you know, I've been playing golf nowadays. You know, I know what he was telling to me, that will you be my golf partner? I said, Mitchell, I love golf. I love golf. Now, listen to me. If I have gone there with beggarly mentality, empty hand, he will just see me. Because see, I communicated value for value. Do you understand? I said, I love golf. So, okay. So, we are going to have another appointment again next week. Without you waiting, that they do. It's okay. It's okay. And we left there and we went. See, if you are in Africa, you need to develop the mindset of generosity. Serve. God said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me. Not that they may sit. So I've seen people, you know, they don't, you are in church. Ask yourself, what problem are you solving there? I am here. I am blessing you. How are you also blessing me? Are you blessing the people around you? Until you have and develop that blessing mentality, you cannot attract wealth. God cannot bless you the way he ought to bless you. I will end by telling the story of Riabonke. I was in secondary school over 20 years ago, SS2 or SS3. Riabonke came to do a crusade in Lagos. If you enter my office, you see that picture. They shared that flyer, and I held the flyer. And do you know what I prayed? Lord, if you will bless me, I will support this man's crusade. I didn't know that God heard that prayer. In secondary school, you see, my knicker self will show poverty. Because my knicker, I did not buy one knicker till I finished secondary school. No. Every knicker was that. So they first dashed me one that was too tight. So they used to call me Nappy. You understand? Because that one shoot my bonbon like a bullet. You know, when I'm, so he carry everything, you know. Then the other one, the trouser one, a senior bought me, they call that one burger. Because you see that one, when I'm coming, you know that it's like they threw me inside sack of Gary. So I will put the thing, you know. And I was also so short. So, you know, when you are short, you should not wear big thing because shortness, big thing makes you shorter. It will now be a... But with that condition, I was honestly speaking, I didn't know the meaning of the prayer. Thank God Pastor Joe is here. Fast forward, we started Royal Grace Chapel. I think 2009, I then heard that Riabonke was coming to Okigwe. I had only one Ford pickup. It was in the season of my crisis. I had no money to give to Riabonke. I called Pastor Joe. I said, I made a pledge to God when I was in secondary school that if God will bless me, I will support Riabonke's crusade. So now I have a Ford pickup. We are going to Okigwe to support Riabonke free of charge. I have never been to the East before in my life. I don't even, those days there were no Google Map. I began to ask for Okigwe Road from Shagamu to really tell you how bad I was. I missed road on that by that Bini Pass bypass. We had to go and turn. It was armed robbers attacked us on the road. In fact, then vigilante also attacked us. They took us to courts and all those things. But I went. When we got to Okigwe finally, it was a field. Riabonke's people were there. He was not there because the crusade was not started. And I said to them, we have come from Lagos. They said, why? We came to help. They looked at themselves. Said, did they make any announcement in Lagos that they are looking for people? We said, no. Said, but I've made a pledge that I'm going to help in whatever way I can. And the people looked at us and said, you mean you drove all the way from Lagos with your fuel money, everything, to come and help in Okigwe? We, both of us, the pastor is here. We said, yes. He said, it's too real. Too good to be true. He said, for security reasons, they cannot allow us to enter. I said, no problem. So we parked our car on the field and we're praying. Do you know the prayer? Lord, let them accept us. Lord, let them. We prayed. This is the pastor. Stand up. Maybe they don't know. Maybe you are too short. But, so that, you know, when you are short, you have to look for people who are not too tall around you so that they will not intimidate you. So we were there. Then after the second day, we were strolling in the afternoon. Then we heard one of them talk about his iPhone. Remember? Stephen, iPhone that was not good, the iPhone was bad. Immediately I said, ah, sir, I'm a technician, I can fix your phone. He said, eh. So he took me to the inner room. He made, because he doesn't want me to run away with his phone, so he stood there until I fixed the phone. When I fixed the phone, the guy realized that these people are a asset here, in case any other phone happened. So out of his ulterior motive, he said, he came back and he was the head of the whatever team. He came and said, I think they are good guys. Let's allow them. Let's allow them. So they allowed us in. Guess what we were doing? He was washing clothes. I was using wheelbarrow to pack sand for them. We were he was washing clothes. We were helping with welder work and everything. The day the crusade started, I think it was on Thursday. Then they did not have, they had to look for work to give me. Then they made me assistant cameraman. That was the first time I ever held camera like that. What were you doing? It was in the field there too. And the crusade finished on a Friday or Saturday. No, Friday, because we had to, it was Saturday they arrested us. They gave me a tag. Yeah, they arrest us, truly. They arrest us. Because I didn't know that there were sanitation. They arrest us and they took us to court. When I saw prison coming, I realized, I don't sing. I don't know how to sing like Paul. This is Paul. This is Silas. If they cast us into sin, and Pastor Joe, we sack him in the choir, just like we sack Lady P, because his voice, if you make Pastor Joe join your choir, that choir will finish. He doesn't know. Pastor Joe does not know. He will start with alto. He will go to soprano. So one day I said, brother, I think there's a better ministry. This one will take away your glory in this church. So I said, Paul and Silas' grace cannot work. So we began to pray again. Because they were sentencing people, you know, mobile court. And finally somebody came and helped us. We came and we jackpa, you know, all the way to Lagos. But let me say this to you. About 3 years later, I'd forgotten all that we've done or we did. 3 years later, I opened my mail. Here was a mail from CFAN. U.S. You have been invited to a special camp with Rehabunke in Florida. What? Florida? The whole arrangement was perfected and everything. When I was going, the same principle again. I will never go empty-handed to a big man's place. So I did what? I went to my tailor. Said, sew two native for me for Rehabunke. Then I went to the Rehabunke. I got about $500 or $1,000. I forgot how much it was. I said, Rehabunke invited me to Florida. When I got to Florida, I went to the secretary. I said, I've come to give this to Papa Bunke. I gave him two native. I dropped the dollars. If you ever check my Facebook profile, you'll see me sitting down with him on a dinner table. When we finished the class, it was like a different table. I was seated. And guess who came to my side? Rehabunke came to sit down by the table I was seated. And he looked at me and began to ask me questions. You see, if you hear somebody, you know, my head is already big before. My head... My mind raced back to that sunny day in my little shorts where I just lifted up a flyer. I was not praying for a car. I was not praying for American visa. I was not even praying for anything. Lord, if you will bless me, I want to support this man's crusade. Do you see? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. That was it. By the time I came back to Nigeria, I knew God has answered that prayer. Before he died, the last crusade he did in Nigeria, I told my people, I said, God has given us one more chance, because he called it farewell crusade, to still honor Rehabunke. We've not bought a land. We've saved all the money then we saved for the property. We carried all. And we went to Okwebi where his office was. Said, we are using it to support Rehabunke's crusade. Then I called the people in church. Let us go to their warehouse at Ajao Estate. We carried flyers and we began to distribute free of charge all around. When others were fighting, we didn't know that he was going to die about a year or 2 years later. But we honored him. We served. Because you see, I realized that everything today, even when we see the property that God has blessed us with, the story is that before this one, there was one we were saving for, that we had to sow the money as a seed. And in turn, God has even blessed us more. Yeah. You want to be blessed? Think beyond yourself. You want to be blessed? Think beyond. Begin to think, how can you advance the kingdom of God? Look around you. You will see problems that God wants you to solve. In solving those problems, you will attract the blessings of God. Stand to your feet with me today.